Judges chapter number 16. And I'm not going to read all the verses that I'm going to preach from tonight. I'm just going to read a few to begin with. But we're going to take and look at quite a few verses tonight. Judges chapter number 16. And I've been fighting a little cold, so I'm trying to stay away from Kim. And of course, Chloe had a little sniffles last week and probably got it off of her, but trying to make sure we don't get her sick. That's something we've been praying about, so we'll do our best tonight. Judges chapter 16, and let's just read to begin with, verse number 4 down through a few verses here. The Bible said, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And so that's as far as we'll read tonight, just to start with, but we're going to try to go down through verse number 21. And so we're going to take a big chunk out of this tonight, and it all goes together, what happens here, down through verse number 21. But I couldn't decide, I'm going to call it this tonight, the sad, sad story of Samson and Delilah. And it's not just a sad story, it's a sad, sad story. And every time I read it and think about it, how sad that a man that had such great potential could come to such a state as Samson does. And so we're going to call it that tonight, the sad, sad story of Samson and Delilah. But I thought about calling it this, sin makes you stupid. Because every time I read this, I think about Samson, and I think he was so stupid. And it's like he just couldn't see. He couldn't see what she was trying to do to him. And just kept on. Let's start tonight and just read a few verses over in Proverbs chapter 6. We're going to come back here to Judges chapter number 16. But there's some verses in Proverbs chapter number 6 that just goes right along with what happens here in Judges chapter number 16. And it's Proverbs chapter 6. And really we could read verse 23 down through the end of the chapter. But we're just going to read down through maybe verse number 32. But in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse number 23, the Bible said, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So God give us His word. And partly why God gave us His word is found in verse number 24. Notice verse 23 doesn't end with a period. But it goes on into verse 24. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? And that's what really, that verse got me thinking about Samson. But these verses are, the context is a woman. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? So he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. Men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. But if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. But whoso committeth adultery with the woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. And so there's a grave warning here in God's word about what we call messing around. But, you know, that's exactly what destroyed Samson, was this messing around. Messing around where he shouldn't have been messing around. And I wonder if Solomon thought about Samson when he was writing that. Surely he could have thought about Samson and what he'd heard about Samson growing up. And it's ironic that Solomon, who wrote Proverbs chapter number 6, Solomon had a weakness when it come to women. And the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 11 verse 4 about Solomon, "For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father." And so Solomon had a problem with women. Well, David, Solomon's father, had a woman problem. Remember, he lusted after Bathsheba, and it wasn't just Bathsheba, he had several wives. And so there's a lot of examples in the Bible that we could give of men that have fallen because of their weakness when it comes to the opposite sex. The Bible said in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse number 25, "Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her." Isn't that a picture of Samson? He was a strong man. And so he was slain by a woman, actually. When I was ordained, and that's been a long time ago now, and I don't remember everything that Preacher Carl preached on, but I remember two things that he preached about. Older pastor, younger preacher, and he said in his message, he preached out of 1 Timothy about the pastor over there, but there's two things he said. He said, "You got to watch out for," and that's money and women. He said, "That will ruin your ministry quicker than anything else, money and women." And so you got to watch out for these things, and that's not just for the pastor, that's for everybody. What an army of Philistines could not do, Delilah accomplished. She didn't come at Samson with a sword. She didn't come at him with an army, but she defeated him nonetheless. That was his undoing. And his undoing has been, it's been a, you could, if it was a movie, you could tell where this is going to end up. If Samson's life were a movie and you started in chapter 13, and you could think about his weaknesses in his life, this is not going to end good. In chapter 14, verse number 1, Samson saw a woman. In chapter 16, verse number 1, Samson went in unto a woman, a harlot woman. And in chapter 16, verse number 4, Samson loved a woman. Now, his downfall, it didn't happen in one day, and nobody's does. But little by little, a lot of times that's where people get messed up. And Samson in his life, little by little, woman problem, lust, all these things. And so Samson, he's going to end up in bad shape tonight. There's just three or four things I'm going to show you about Samson's sad, sad story. Number one, Samson and Delilah's sad, sad story. Number one, their devotion. Chapter 16, verse number 4. "And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah." Their devotion. Number one, Samson loved her. That's what the Bible says. And there's a lot of lessons in all of this. Some of them are very obvious to us. But one thing I want to point out tonight is I got to thinking about this. Do you see that it is possible to love the very thing that'll kill you? That's what Samson does. He loves the very thing that kills him. And we might say, well, that's a very odd thing. But actually, it's a very common thing. That people love many times the thing that kills them. And we could give several examples of that. A lot of times it is a relationship. Now, this is a relationship that Samson has. He loves her, but she doesn't love him. And it's going to end up killing him. But you know, there's a lot of relationships like that out here. There's a lot, over at the doctor's office, and I know a lot of you have seen these things, I don't know if it's a ministry or what it is, but it's called Oasis, and it's for abused people that are in abusive relationships. When you sit in a doctor's office, you'll read everything. And that, I was reading about that. I've seen that other places before. Why is there a need for something like that? Because a lot of people are in relationships that's just killing them. And so Samson is in a relationship. He loves something that's killing him. Drugs, alcohol, food. I mean, there's all kinds of things that you could have a love for, but actually it's very, very bad for you. And that's the way it was with Samson and these women in his lives. First of all, there was an attraction to the wrong thing. In chapter 14, verse number 1, Samson saw a woman. You remember back there, he went to his parents and he said, "Boy, I got to have her." Well, a lot of times the things that you think you've got to have, you really don't need. But Samson, he was attracted to the wrong thing. And he said, "I've got to have her." There was attraction. Then there was action. Chapter 16, verse number 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there an harlot and went in unto her. That's how sin is. First of all, there's an attraction. Looks good. Then there's action. He acted upon it. And then there's attachment. Come to chapter 16, verse number 4. Well, he loved her. He loved her. And so when we come to chapter 16, verse number 4, Samson is hook, line, and sinker all the way. But he's in trouble. Samson loved her, but she loved money. See, she didn't love him. Nowhere does it say she loved him. He loved her. She loved money. That's what she was devoted to. That's what she wanted. Verse number 5. And the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, "Entice him, see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. We will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver." And so Delilah loved money. And that's what she wanted. She never loved him. Now, Brother Dale was talking about this before church. How much money did they offer her? 5 lords of the Philistines offered her 1,100 pieces of silver apiece. And I read a couple of commentaries that talked about how much that was. You can figure up the amounts. 5 times 1,100 is 5,500 pieces of silver. John Gill said that was nearly 700 pounds sterling silver. 700 pounds of silver. That's a lot of silver. Silver's went down 83% in the last year. So after the stock market crashed, Delilah would have lost a lot of money, but she still made it. It's a lot of money. If I figured it right, and I may not have, but a pound of silver, 16 ounces is in a pound. And you do that times 700, that's 11,200 ounces of silver. And you times that times the going rate for silver today was $16.67 an ounce. And so that's $186,000. But when John Gill, and you talk about depreciation, he said it was $750,000. And so it depends on the price of silver, doesn't it? But it's a lot of money for a little Philistine girl that never had much. I mean, that's more than she'd ever had, ever dreamed of. And, you know, you read a lot of commentaries, they say that Delilah was a harlot. Now, the Bible does not say that she was a harlot. But we do know this. We know that Samson was attracted to that kind of woman. Chapter 16, verse 1. And she sure did act like one. And he never married her. He just
lived with her. He lived down there with Delilah. He never took her to his home. He was staying over at her house all the time. And so she may not have been, she may have been, I don't know, the Bible does not say specifically, but she was
in it for the money. And that's what a harlot does. So there's good reason to believe, you know, she probably was.
The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, it says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. And so here we find, what does she love? She loves money, he loved her. That's a bad combination. They're not on the same page on anything. Number one, that's their devotion. Number two, their deception. Now, they deceive each other. They lie to each other. That's a real good relationship we've got going on. They deceive each other from verse number 6 down through verse number 18 or 19. One lie after another. The Bible said in verse number 6, and Delilah, now here's how you say her name, Delilah. What do you expect for somebody the middle of their name is lie? Delilah. I told Chloe that this morning. She thought that was funny. Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Now, sin will make you stupid. And why does she want to know? I could see why she would want to know what made him strong. But this, how can you be bound to afflict you? Doesn't Samson have some alarm bells going off in his head? You know, why does she want to know that specific thing? Why? What makes me strong and what can be done to bind me, to afflict me? That's what she wants to know. And you got to wonder, you know, Samson, is anybody home? He's so love struck he cannot see what's going on here. And so verse number 7, now Samson, he's the kind of person, he always thinks he's pretty smart. And he toys with her. He plays with her. In fact, she's playing him and he's playing her. Meaning he doesn't give her the answer she wants. Verse number 7, and Samson said unto her, if they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And so... That green whisk, that's like on a willow tree, the limbs that come down, those shoots, that type of material, a shoot, a branch that's flexible. And he said, if they got 7 green whisks that had not been dried, then I shall be weak and be as another man. Verse number 8, then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green whisks, which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as the thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. So that's lie number 1. You see what he told her there. If they bind me with 7 green withs, and she done it. And then what a coincidence. Right as she done this, she said, oh, the Philistines are here. They're attacking, you know. Well, he broke the whis and his strength, the source of his strength was not known. Lie number 1. Lie number 2, verse 10 and 11. The Bible said, and Delilah said unto Samson, behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. And there's a lot of lies in this chapter, if you notice. You told me lies, you mocked me. Now tell me, I pray thee, whithersoever thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. And so
verse number 12, Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait, abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And so she does the second thing he tells her. And lo and behold, the Philistines are there again. Samson, what's wrong with him? But you know what? We all know of people in sinful situations, and we see them go on and on and on, and we say the same thing. What's wrong with them? Can't they see this is destroying them? Can't they see how bad this is? Can't they see where this is going to end? Well, Samson couldn't see it. Sin blinds you. Sin makes you insensible. It's what sin does. And sin in anybody's life does the same thing. I don't care if it's a preacher. I don't care who it is. It makes you blind. It makes you dumb. It makes you insensible. It makes you do things that, I mean, we read this and how could Samson be so foolish? Well, that's what sin does to you. That was lie number two. Lie number three, verse 13. And Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, if thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And she fashioned it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he waked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And so how they would weave garments. And they had what you may have heard about or read about in school, or you've seen a web or a loom or something they'd weave fabric with, and she tied his hair all up in that. Now, Samson, he's getting closer. He starts talking about his hair. See, he's never said nothing about his hair up to this point. But he's getting closer and closer to telling her what the real secret of his strength is. And the truth is that it has to do with his hair. And so that doesn't work, though. Verse number 15, she said unto him, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Boy, she's really pouring it on now. I can just see all this. Thou hast mocked me these three times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. She's getting fed up. Boy, she's bringing the pressure. And notice this about their relationship. Their relationship is a one-way street. And many times that's how a rotten relationship is. She's the taker. He's the giver. She's the one that lays out the demands. He follows the orders. And she said, how canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Now, I thought about this. Why couldn't Samson say, you know, if you love me, you wouldn't ask? But a lot of times it's just a one-way street. Oh, I can just hear, oh, you don't love me, Samson. How can you even say that you love me? I've asked you and asked you. Look at these words here. In verse number 16, what the Bible says. And it came to pass. Now, when you read in the Bible, and it came to pass, time. There's time in there. And so, day after day, week after week, all Samson got for breakfast was, where's your strength? Where's your strength? What do you want for breakfast? Oh, I'd like some eggs, and of course he didn't eat bacon. I'd like some lamb. And she said, I'd be glad to fix all that and a big cup of coffee if you'd just tell me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass, the Bible said, when she pressed him, that word press there, it means this, pressure. She pressured him on and on and on and day she pressed him, the Bible said, with her words and urged him. That word urge there, it means to to press by motives, by arguments, by persuasion. Man, she tried everything. She used her looks, her cooks, I don't know. And she tried everything. Pressed him, urged him with her words, so that his soul was vexed unto death. That word vexed there, it means to cut down, like you would cut wheat in a harvest, to cut it down at the bottom. And so she just on and on. And look what it says in verse number 16. Daily, day after day after day. This is all Samson hears from her. We don't know how long it came to pass, but on and on and on. And I'll tell you, I'm not, you know, on and on and on is wearing him down. And so finally, in verse number 17, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from a mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. He told her all his heart. He finally tells her, this is the fourth time, and finally he tells her the truth about where his great strength lies. And this is a picture of how sin operates in our life. You know, Samson, at the beginning, he's playing with fire. He keeps playing and he keeps playing and he keeps playing. He's getting ready to get burned. He's getting ready to get burned bad. I don't know who said this, but there's a saying, I've heard it, I think, all my life pretty much, but it says this about sin. Sin will take you farther than you want to go. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Well, that's exactly what sin will do in our lives. It'll take you farther than you want to go, it'll keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. Their deception, their whole relationship was built on deceiving. She lied to him, he lied to her, and she just wanted money, and she kept on till she got what she wanted, and it's just a sad story. And I was thinking today as I was studying and meditating, you know, Samson I just don't know if we ought to brag on Samson when we're teaching our Sunday school classes. When you're growing up, you think, man, Samson's great. Samson's not great. He does a couple of good things, but most of what Samson does is not good. So I don't know, maybe you Sunday school teachers, when you come across that, I don't know how it's presented anymore. It's been a long time since I've saw a child Sunday school class. But Samson, he just wasn't too great. And so there's their deception. And last of all tonight, there's their destruction. Verses 18 through 21. Let's read those and then I'll just comment a little bit. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And I was reading and studying about that. She began to afflict him. She probably, what happened was, he was asleep. She screamed at him some way. Screamed, hollered. Samson. Strength went from him, and he said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. Or she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. And so we see there destruction. Really, it was his destruction. Verse number 18, he said this, or verse number 17, the last part, he said, then my strength will go from me. I shall become weak and be like any other man. And that's exactly what happens to Samson. He said, I will become weak and be like any other man. His destruction. Number one, his distinction was destroyed. Now, Samson was a distinct, unique individual. He told her in verse number 17, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. And he had compromised his Nazarite vow many times. Touched a dead body, he was in a vineyard, had no business being in there. There's no telling what Samson was involved in. But the last thing to go was his hair. And when you saw Samson, that would have been, he's different than everybody else. His distinction. I don't know that he was a big muscle-bound fella, but his hair was definitely different than everybody else. And that hair was a reminder of his relationship with God, that his whole life was to be dedicated unto God. That was his distinction. That is what set him apart and made him different from everybody else. And this man comes in and shaves his hair off. We as God's people are to be separate. If there's no difference between us and the world, then there's no difference. And what I mean by that, how can we invite the world? Oh, you need Jesus. You need to be saved. You need to be born again. My life. But if my life and our life is exactly like their lives, then there's no difference. The Bible says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. If you follow the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to live your life for His honor and for His glory, people will notice a difference. There's got to be a difference in our lives. There's got to be a distinction in our lives. And I've used this illustration before, and I think it's a great illustration. If somebody is stuck in the sand in a vehicle, and I saw a picture of this, somebody taking a picture one time, it got me to thinking about that. But if somebody's stuck in the sand, the wrecker doesn't go down there in the sand and pull them out. It stays over on the where it's solid and sends a line out and brings them where? On the solid ground. If you go down in the sand with somebody else, there's two people going to be stuck. And there's so many churches and so many Christians today, and they've got the mindset, you know, let's just go down there with everybody else and do everything else that they're doing. But if there's no difference, then there's no difference. Why would they want to be saved? You're living just like they are. You're talking just like they are. You're doing the same things that they're doing. Well, there's no difference. There's got to be a difference. There's got to be a distinction. God's people are to be holy people. We're to be different. He lost his distinction. Number two, he lost his defense was destroyed. In verse number 19, the Bible said this. She caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. That's his distinction. She began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. The thing that had defended him all these times. A lion attacked him. He killed the lion. The Philistines attacked him. He took the jawbone of a donkey. He killed the Philistines. He's trapped. He's circled down in Gaza, and he's where he shouldn't be, but he breaks out of the gates, carries the gates off. His strength. And evidently these Philistines come and try to catch him several times. His strength, he breaks the ropes, he breaks the widths, he carries the beam away, and all of these things. His strength. But now his strength is gone. Now, his strength was not because he had long hair, but his strength was the Lord. That's where his great strength came from. It says in here that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him.
That's where his great strength come from. The Lord is our strength. Jeremiah 16, 19, O Lord, my strength. Nehemiah 8, 10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so our strength comes from the Lord. I'm not strong, you're not strong. In our flesh, that's all we are. We're just flesh and we're weak as water. We're weak like any other person.
And so if we have any strength, it comes from the Lord. The strength we have comes from the Lord.
His defense is destroyed. His discernment is destroyed. And it's been suffering all along.
Because he didn't have any discernment when she's trying to trick him all these many times. But finally, the Bible says here in verse number 20, it says that Samson woke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. Finally. I mean, he's been playing with fire all along. And he can't see what she's trying to do in his life. And now she screams again, hollers again, and he jumps up and he says, you know, I've been in a deep sleep. She'd probably drugged him or got him drunk or something. Because, you know, it come to my mind, if somebody was cutting my hair while I was asleep, I think I'd wake up. But there's no telling what she done to get him to sleep. And so she hollers and the Philistines are there and he jumps up and he says, that's all right, I'll just go out like I've always done. And I'll just beat him up, run him off. He didn't know. The Bible said he wist not. And Samson is a very vivid picture of the last days, the Laodicean church age. A Revelation chapter number 3, the last church over there said, I'm rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Oh, we got everything we need. That's the attitude of the last days. But the Lord said unto that church, thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. See, the church in the last day says, man, we're in great shape. We're rich. We've got all these things and we don't need anything. But the Lord says, you're miserable. You're wretched. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. You're in terrible shape. Discernment.
And I went last week and preached down at somewhere.
Bessemer City, Heaven Bound Baptist Church. And I don't keep up the Joel Osteen, but the preacher before me, man, he didn't have anything good to say about Joel Osteen. He's telling about all this stuff that they're doing, and I don't know. I've watched about 5 minutes. I was sick one Sunday. And I watched the first 5 minutes and he told a joke. And I said, well, that's enough. But the church in the last days has very little spiritual discernment to even see what is that even biblical or not? Is that of God or not? And so Samson said, you know, I'll just go out just like I've done all the other times. And he didn't know the Lord was departed from him. His discernment was destroyed. His, verse number 21, his dignity is destroyed. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. That was very common in that day. Prisoners, criminals, cut their hands off, cut their feet off, poke their eyes out. And they took him and the Bible said that they put out his eyes. And what they probably done was they probably took a hot poker, put his eyes out. You talk about a miserable thing to happen. Put his eyes out, brought him down to Gaza. You know, that's where he was when he went under that harlot back in chapter 16, verse number 1. Took him back down there, bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. His dignity was destroyed. Here is Samson. He's the champion of Israel. He's their hero. Little boys and little girls have grown up. You know, he judged for 20 years. Little boys and little girls have grown up hearing about the heroics of Samson. How that he
killed the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, and he was their hero, he was their judge, and now he is blind, and he's weak, and he's doing slave's work. They would, when he would grind, of course they didn't have, I don't think they had water wheels and all like that, but they'd take two stones, and they'd have a big stones, and they'd have a pole go out, and they'd put a donkey or a slave or something, they'd walk around in a circle and make them stones one, and they'd put their wheat in there and they'd grind it down. That's how they'd grind to make their bread. That's the work of a slave, of an animal. I read many said that that was a woman's work. And now the little Philistine boys and girls come up there, and boy, you ought to see Samson now. You mean that's the fellow that they say killed all them? See, all his dignity's gone. The great, great, strong man. And how sad. The only bright side is he's finally rid of Delilah. But look what it took to get rid of her. The whole chapter could be stamped with Galatians 6 and 7. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so, it's sad. It's a sad, sad story. And there's a lot of sad stories out here, isn't there? I mean, we hear all the time. All the time. But I'm telling you, sin is not anything to play with. It'll take you down hard. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a happy ending. It's a sad ending. And of course, we're not done yet. Chapter 16, verses 23 through 31 is the death of Samson. And we'll look at that next week, Lord willing, and probably maybe even break that up into a couple of more lessons. But Samson, it is a... Samson is a warning about sin, his whole life, and what can happen. And so we ought to be thankful for the warnings from the Bible. Many times they come along at a time in our life, if we'll pay attention, hey, that's the Lord speaking to me. And so it's good to say, amen, I received that message. And I understand what that's saying. All right, I appreciate your good attention tonight.